So, happy Lent. I want to explore in this homily the third temptation, which I haven't gone into much before at all. I've always looked at the first one. But with this third one, I think there's something interesting that can help us. But help us do what? To discover how the Scriptures and our actions of fasting and almsgiving and prayer can situate us with Christ during this season. And in one sense, the goal is what we'd find in the third preface for Sunday. And I use that preface a bunch, and I just want to call it back to mind for you. We know it belongs to the bounty of your glory, something like that, to your glory, that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation. At least the part that I'm exploring these days has to do with discovering the effects of mortality on me, discovering how I cope with it, and finding out what it is that the Lord might be working with, that the cause of my downfall and yours might become the means of salvation. So, the third temptation has to do with, goes up on the high mountain, sees the whole world, I'll give this all to you if you worship me, get behind me, Satan, and all that stuff. Now, I'm not saying that any of us have that kind of temptation to grandeur, here's the whole world, it's all yours. However, as we notice how we live, and for example, our daydreams about our greatness, individual greatness, we might discover some things. And it has to do, I believe, with the human creature's tendency and need to control for every outcome. We notice that when we're disappointed or disillusioned or upset, I want this outcome for myself, for somebody else, and boy, if it doesn't happen, someone's going to pay the price, right? You got that? Yeah? Okay. So, here's a story or two. Yesterday, after confessions and mass, I went down to the arena to watch Marquette and Creighton. And I'm a Creighton fan, so get over yourselves. Now, you Marquette fans, notice this. How did you prepare yourself to control for the outcome of loss? Okay. In baseball, we know that a lot of guys have superstitions. You wear the same hat, you wear the same blah, blah, blah. You do the same rigmarole. You put on your lucky jersey. You put on your lucky amulet, whatever. So as to control your anxiety against the possibility of an outcome you don't want. I do that. So I thought to myself, am I going to wear my Creighton sweatshirt or not? My lucky sweatshirt. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that today. That may have changed the whole thing, right? But what I discovered was it was the part about finding that I was trying to deal with my anxiety about warding off loss, humiliation, and the kind of terror that comes from having my expectations and hopes turned upside down. You ever do that? Doesn't have to be with yesterday's game. Could be a lot of things. Here's something else I just realized after the last Mass. So I was going out, and I noticed this during Mass. I'm a terribly anxious person, more neurotic than I'll ever let you know. So after preaching, and if I feel like I've really stepped out somewhere that feels to me kind of scary, I worry about what are people going to say the whole Mass. And so I try to control for that anxiety through worry. And I discovered I made people pay the price for my anxiety by only looking at the 7:30 folks as they came out as a source of propping up my fragile ego. How did I do? Was I good enough? Was I smart enough? Was I this or that? Now we talking here, huh? You get that? How do I cope with that kind of anxiety? But more so, and that's idolatry, essentially. I try to do something, whether it's, how I look or what I say or what I don't say or anything like that. I try to control for a favorable outcome. You ever do that? What you wear, what your shoes look like, who you hang with, where you live, what kind of car you drive, what you see as your very favorable future, and we try to control for that, right? And it seems to me, as we try to control for everything, we make others pay the price for our anxiety. You dang well better do this or you're going to pay, whether it's impatience or anger or rage. Those are tip-offs to us that we're trying to control for anxiety or resentment in our lives. What Jesus did in these temptations was he opted for vulnerability, insecurity, anxiety, so as not to make others pay the price for his humanness. Does that make sense? And I think that's what during the Lenten season we can look at. Because, for example, in trying, it seems to me, in fasting, almsgiving, and what's the other one? Prayer. I knew that. In trying to control for the outcome of success, we put and perfection to be good little boys and girls. We put such pressure on ourselves because we're putting pressure on others to be perfect as well. and we make them pay for our anxiety. Are we going to make it 6 weeks? Well, are you kidding? Anybody here go 6 weeks with the Lenten resolve? Tell me after Mass. Just saying. Is it possible that we can learn from our mortality that the cause of our downfall can become the means of our salvation? And with Christ, learn to dwell in that vulnerable spot. Anxiety, resentment, vulnerability, whatever. And learn to make others pay less for that terrible vulnerability. It's terrible and precious. So as we go on to pray, we give thanks to God the Father in Christ through the Spirit, who has opened the way for you and me and the whole world, not just to heaven, but to finding Christ with us in that part of our lives we don't go. He's opened the way for us. Perhaps this Lenten season we can find it. So would you consider just for a moment, what might your temptations teach you about yourself with Christ?